saying, and we got, we're a little bit behind on a base. Omar Mar, now getting back to the cases, remember we were going through step by step. Okay. So first we discussed the meaning of these four Rishiyot. And then, and how come, we discussed how come you don't list the others. And then we discussed why does it say that you're Chayev, that we know that you're Chayev. We wanted to know also the Diyuk in Lashon, I say Gemura, I say Zohi. But about the actual words that he said, he listed in the lists of Carmelite, he lists a Carmelite. How can you list the thing itself in the set of the things that it's supposed to be? And then we've got this Bika business. And a Bika, we mentioned yesterday, we start to get to an area in which the use of a thing, remember we noted that the Midbar, it really depends if people are using the Midbar or not. The area that's in use is called Rishut HaRabim. Now this Bika, because of that, is also very confusing, because you list Bika. First, let's talk about that before we get to the Carmelite. Ain't a local Rishut HaYachid, a local Rishut HaRabim, but that's not true. Because there's a Beferish Mishnah that says, you tell me Bika, ain't a local Rishut HaYachid, a local Rishut HaRabim, it says Beferush, but it's not. Habika, and now a Bika, normally the meaning of a Bika is the fields on either sides of a valley. So you have a road going along, and then you have the fields, people are usually walk through the fields. But it says here, Lagabi Tuma, and we mentioned it, that's the area in which there's a chafifa of the concept of Rishut HaYachid and Rishut HaRabim to certain elements of Shabbat's Rishut HaYachid and Rishut HaRabim. And indeed, the Mishnah makes this implication, it's a Mishnah in Tahara, Habikarbi Mota Chama. During the summer, a valley, while it's a Rishut HaYachid for Shabbat, is called a Rishut HaRabim for Tuma. The only meaning of Rishut HaRabim for Tuma is in the question that is learned from Sota about Suffolk Tuma. Since the Torah keeps insisting on calling a woman who was alone with a man a Suffolk Tuma, V'nitma'ar, lo nitma'ar, so we call that a type of Tuma. The Gemara learns from there, and actually it's all discussion, it tells us if we land Bachel HaMashmi, see now we're learning it directly, which elements we're learning from Sota. But as we saw back in Nida, Suffolk Tuma of Rishut HaRabim, is considered to be patur. Why is that? Because the only point where the Torah says Sofek Tuma is asur for the Sotah is where Vihi Nistara. Now Vihi Nistara means, by definition, there's two people, him and her. Once there's three people, it's no longer Nistara, which teaches us that if you have an area which is open to the public and which people are walking through, that becomes a mokom of a Rishut HaRabim, so to speak, in terms of Tuma, and if you have a suffix about whether you encounter Tuma there, then it would be Lakula, because the Torah was only Makam on the Seita, in a case where she was Nisteret. Okay, this again is a rather strange kind of idea, but we use the same word Rishut HaRabim, Rishut HaYafid there. So during the summertime, a Bika being a place where people can walk through is considered to be Rishut HaRabim LaTuma, and therefore if it would be a suffix Tuma, it would be Tahor. But Bimoda Geshamim, when things are muddy and nobody is walking through the fields, then it becomes Rishut HaYachid L'kach U'L'kach. It has a dinner of Rishut HaYachid both in terms of Tuma and in terms of Shabbat. Now, you just said that a Bika is a Carmelite. And here it says it's Rishut HaYachid. Omar Ula, the Mishnah isn't coming to describe the technical dinim of a Bika in terms of Carmelite Rishut HaYachid. He's trying to say that while in certain context, such as Tuma, it can be a Rishut HaRabim. It's never a Rishut HaRabim for Shabbos, that's all. I mean, it's a Carmelite, but the point is it's not a Rishut HaRabim. I don't need to talk about in the second Taharot whether it's a din of a Carmelite that's not a Rishut HaRabim or a Rishut HaYachid that's not a Rishut HaRabim. I call it a Rishut HaYachid because it's not a Rishut HaRabim, that's all. So the Olam Carmelite Havia, indeed it is a Carmelite. But my call is a Rishut HaYachid, but Fisha ain't not a Rishut HaRabim. And in that context, it's irrelevant. I mean, we're trying to basically contrast it to the din of Suffolk Tumah Rishut HaRabim. So we say, in terms of Shabbat, it's never Rishut HaRabim. That's all. It's a cute way of setting up a Mishnah. Rav Ashi says, I don't like cuteness. There's got to be an explanation as to why it's Rishut HaYachid. Now, we know the alternative. The alternative is that a Bika could be a Carmelite. There's a type of Carmelite, which is really Rishut HaYachid, which has a din of a Carmelite, and we talked about yesterday, that really there's these other two Rishuyot, as Tosis pointed out, that are being subsumed in the category of Carmelite, though they really aren't a Carmelite. One of them was a Chotzer that doesn't have an Eruv, which is really Rishut HaYachid, but you're not allowed to carry Arba Amos just as if it's a Carmelite. And the other is, we had before, the Karfaf, which was the wide area that is surrounded by Mechitzot. But since it's not Mukaf L'dira, such as this valley, which may have fencing to prevent people from just breaking through anywhere in there, but it has fencing, then it would still be a Carmelite, but it's really a Rishut HaYachid. It's a Carmelite only L'Chumrah. That was one of the reasons why we weren't so happy with really including it under the term Carmelite, because it's so misleading. It isn't really a Midiraisa Rishut HaYachid. Normally, a Carmelite Midiraisa is a Mokum Patur. Okay, this is one of the one of the unclear elements in the technical language of Hilchos Shabbos. So therefore comes on Rav Ashi to say, look, I don't believe that we call it a Rishut HaYachid because it's not a Rishut HaRabim. I mean, even though it's in the middle of Masechet Taharot, you still have to keep your language correct. So the idea over here is, in fact, it's talking about a Rishut HaYachid, meaning Rishut HaYachid Dioraita. Okay? So it's talking about going to Itlam Mechitzot. It has now Mechitzot around it. And therefore, technically speaking, it's Rishut HaYachid. The reason that we call it a Karmelit is because you're not allowed to carry in this Rishut. The Amar Ula, Amar Rav Yochanan, Karfaf Yoter Mibetz Atayim, Shlo Kafla Diram. Look, if you've got something that is larger than an area of a satayim, remember that there's the interesting way that we measured the property was by a normal, what's considered to be the standardized area in which you could plant a bag of seed that was two saw. Here, this would be the case over here. So you plant a bushel. It's called a bushel plot. You could plant a kur, it's called a kur plot, and so on. So here it's a plot in which you could have a bag full of seed of tusa, the place in which you could plant that, if the karfaf is larger than that, and it wasn't made to live in, there's no house and nobody's living in the area. And, you know, I don't care how big it is, I mean, it could be a kur for that matter, it could be 20 acres. The idea is that if it has mechitzot around it, the fact that it's enormous doesn't change anything. It's still a Rishut HaYachid in terms of the Oraita, and Hazorek L'Tocho is always going to be Chayav. My time of Mechitzahi, there's no problem in the Dinim of Mechitzot, which is the sole criteria when it comes to the Oraita definition of the Rishut HaYachid. The problem is only the Rabbanan, Shemechuseret Diurin. There's nobody living in it, and the Rabbanan insisted that the level of Diur is also integral to the understanding of the Rishut. So if there's too many Diurin, you can't carry in it unless it has an Eruv. If there's no Diurim, you can't carry in it because it's similar to a space that's not being used for private purposes. It's similar to Rishut HaRabim. Okay? But in terms of the Mechitzot, there's one Halach, it's Rishut HaYachid. Hey, now wait, this is really weird because this is Ula who's quoting Rabbi Yochanan over here, right? Ula was the one who said on our days, on our Ula, the reason we're calling it a Karmelit is because it's not a Rishut HaYachid, not a Rishut HaRabim. I mean, if it's Ula's own statement that there exists another type of Karmelit, which is called a Karfaf, Shlo, Kafla, Dirah, for heaven's sakes, he's got it right up his sleeve. He's got the answer. What does he have to say, this weird answer, that since it's not a Rishut HaRabim, we call it Rishut HaYachid? I mean, that's not satisfying. So he's got the satisfying answer himself. He's the one who quoted Rabbi Yochanan. Why didn't he say it? So Bishlim and Rav Ashi, okay, well, I'm not going to Ula, I mean, for whatever reason, it does hold a Ula, it didn't know a Ula, whatever, but Ula should have said his own shot. My time in the Lamar Kishmatate. Why didn't Ula explain the sugya in the Braita according to the very Shmu'ah that he had learned from Rabbi Yochanan? Amar Lecha, Ula said, because let us have some responsibility to semantics. Don't come teaching me what's called the Rishut HaYachid and Rishut HaRabim. I can tell you that a bika with a fence around it ceases to be a bika and becomes a tennis court. So you don't call it a bika, you call it a karfaf. That's the technical term for it. See, the Yitla Mechitzot, Bika Karelei, Karfafi. Whereas Rav Ashi says, look man, it says Rishut HaYachid, it doesn't say non Rishut HaRabim, okay? So I don't know what you're marked on the wording of Karfaf and Bika. I'd rather be marked on the wording of Rishut HaYachid and Rishut HaRabim versus Karmelit. If you're dealing with semantics, then let's go all the way. HaKarmelit. Now the other thing that bothers us is including the word Karmelit in the set of Karmelits. Oh man. Oh, to Kulo Nami Lav Karmelit? Then I thought that's what we're coming to explain. All the cases that we had were Karmelites. So what kind of Karmelite is included in the set of Karmelites? The Elzer Dimi on Rabbi Yochanan, we are talking here about another type of Karmelite, which is meant to be included in this Karmelite, which is a little bit strange. It's defined as a Karmelite only because of limitations of use. And of course, we already met this idea when we talked about carrying from the store into the street through the cargo. That was the case in which there was an area between Rishut HaYachid and the true Rishut HaRabim where it wasn't all that easy to have the flow of the Rishut HaRabim going through because things were put there. So this is coming to tell me the case. Yasser Adimi, he quoted Rabbi Yochanan as saying, Lo Nitzcha Elo Lekeren Zavit Asmucha L'Rishut HaRabim. Now there's two possible of Keren Zavit. So Keren Zavit can be an indentation in which you had an individual who took his home and wanted to create a little parking space in front of his home. He moved the wall of his house inwards to leave parking in front. But what has actually happened is that the street now has this area in which it indents inwards along into the wall of the other homes. It's a pretty common kind of thing. And although people generally will not use that area, because it's inconvenient, I mean, you go in and then you have to go out again, so to speak. But again, as you well know from your own experience, when traffic is heavy, it's a great way to get ahead. You have the doctor go into the side, you run around the other people, and you go ahead. So you look for those kind of turnabouts and so on the side of a road. So there, even though it's parked, even though in heavy traffic, people will go into that indentation. What's fascinating is that even though it's really part of the street, but it isn't usable the way people use the rest of the street, that is the remnant of a new type of Carmelite that's included here, which is restricted flow. A restricted flow Carmelite is a whole new idea. Now, of course, the other idea of a Keren Zavit could mean a house that is built at an angle, and it juts into the Rishut HaRabim. You often find in these castle-like affairs, in which when you come to the edge, you're going to have to walk around the piece that's sticking out. So anything that's headed towards that corner, it's not convenient, because who wants to walk there? I'd rather avoid that whole little piece. Once the angle starts angling in towards that corner, I avoid it. But it's the same idea. So that's a literal Keren Zavit. So again, since it's not Lecha Tashmishta, so we're talking about a restricted flow in the middle of Rishut HaRabim, or here on the side of Rishut HaRabim, is considered to be a Carmelite. Actually, the simplest thing would have been, you would think, would have been to say, Tzidei Rishut HaRabim. What do we need this case of Keren Zavit? Since we saw already yesterday, it exists an idea of the edges of Rishut HaRabim, which is itself a restricted flow. I mean, isn't that the simplest case? So Tosafot says the reason we didn't want to say that that's the case is because that was a machlokas. As we saw before, we didn't know how far Rebbe Eliezer, when it said Tzidei Rishut HaRabim, is considered to actually, yes, be a halakha of Rishut HaRabim. So we don't want to get into that. So we took a case in which we believe everybody would be Moda, and that's the case of a carmelite of real restricted flow where you're going to end up bumping into a wall if you keep walking in this area. Kiyasa Rabdimi Yom Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Rav Dimi also quoted Rav Yochanan as saying, "Bein ha'amudim nidon ke'karmelit." There's areas in the shopping square, which we were talking about, Sratya Platya, yesterday, the Platya being the shopping square of the city, in which, for commercial reasons, they have these poles, not to be confused with the chifufi that we were talking about yesterday, which are poles to prevent traffic from coming up against the walls and damaging the walls. These are poles for commercial purposes, in which you hang. As very often you walk through the streets in many cities in the downtown area, you have people hanging begodim and things outside and hawking their goods. So here they would have flea markets, and they would have permanent poles, and then you would come in the morning and you would stick a piece on it and put the clothing that you're trying to sell or whatever it is you're selling. And that way you end up having a very convenient commercial center, but not a very convenient walking center. Because if you want to walk, you try to avoid that area. And since, I mean, Lamais, obviously people walk there. And there's no choice in the matter. But I forgot the Darcy they robbed. But you can't just walk through it. You have to constantly dodge the poles and so on. So again, it's a restricted flow situation, therefore becomes a Carmelite. Reb Zera quoted Reb Yehuda saying that in Itztabal, if Nea Abudim, Nidon Carmelite. Also, the storekeepers would put out a little bench in front of the area where they were hanging their clothes to sell. And they would sit on it hawking, and people could come and sit down, you know, and they would have Wi-Fi and so on. But while they were at it, they would buy a couple of begodim, a cup of coffee, and so on. This developed the Meshech Hazman into these little stores. So what used to be a place in which if you were selling bucks and so on, ended up becoming coffee stores. So in any event, the Itztabal would be also a Carmelite. Well, I mean, according to the Mandi Amar, holds even Bein HaMudim is a Carmelite. Clearly an Itztabal. I mean, you can't walk at all. If there's benches, then what are you going to do? You can hop over the bench. I mean, it's one thing to dodge a pole. I mean, it's another thing to hop over a bench. A bench clearly is restricted flow. That goes without saying. The Mandi Amar, that's Koshken Itztabal. The Mandi Amar says Itztabal has a different concept of restricted flow in terms of Carmelite. And he seems to say Dafka and Itztabal, the Lo Necha Tashmishta, where it really very inconvenient to use that area. Avobena Amudim, even okay, fine, so you dodge a pole. I mean, but basically it's Necha Tashmishta. It's almost part of the joy of walking down the street, you know, to keep the movement going, especially if you're on a skateboard and so on. So over there, it would not be considered to be a Carmelite. Lishna Achrina. Another way of putting that is Avobena Amudim, the Zimni, the Darsele Rabin. When it comes to Bena Amudim, if things are really tough, And people really just flow over into that area. I mean, if there's a funeral on the street or something, they flow through the area of the poles easily. But certainly it's very difficult to get flow around benches. Okay, a different idea. This one requires dechika, heavy traffic. The other one's just saying in general, so I consider it to be a restriction. Amar Rabba bar Shila Amar Rav Chisda, Leveinazik Kufa Berushut HaRabim. Look, the idea of a carmelite extends even to something as simple as having a brick standing on its edge in Rushut HaRabim. And you throw something now, and it lands on the area of the brick that is on the side. We're going to think about how it is that it landed on its side, since probably it would have to deal with gravity. You know. But it's on its side. So then you would be chayev. So if you were throwing, let's say, arba amos in Rishon, and this thing lands on this levena, and it's within 10 tefachim of the ground, so it landed in Rishon HaRabim, and for some reason it's considered to be munach, even though it's on its side, must have had a Velcro bottom or something, but the Gemara is going to talk about it, how did it land on its side. So then it would be chayev, because it's considered to be the equivalent of 4x4, because it's basically facing the ground. Actually, I mean, that's a little bit of machlokes, but we'll talk about that in a moment. Al-gavapatur, but if it lands on top of the brick, then we'll see it's talking about over here that it was 3 tefachim high. If it's 3 tefachim high, it becomes a makom patur. And if it's a makom patur, you never landed 4 amos away in Rishut HaRabim, and therefore you'd be put. In fact, be allowed to do a lechatchila lechor, because you can carry from a makom patur to Rishut HaRabim. So in such a case, you would be put. Abaye b'rabbi d'amar tavar hushigavur shlosha. It has to be 3 tefachim high. Because if it's not 3 tefachim high, it just becomes batel to Rishut HaRabim, because everybody just steps over it. Once it's 3 tefachim high, to lo darsi b'rabim, people are not just stepping over it. So then, it's considered to be separate. But if you're talking about yizmi v'higi, I mean, you've got now thorn bush, a thistle bush in the middle. I mean, it doesn't have to be 3 tefachim high. Nobody's going to step on that anyway. So there it would be considered a makom patur no matter what. Chia bar Rav says, even yizmi v'higi, but cow pies, no, nobody's going to step in that. Lo. So over there, even though it's not 3 tefachim high, it's an area which people will avoid stepping into. Therefore, it becomes reshus b'fnei atzmo, and it becomes a makom patur. This is a new concept of restricted flow, let me tell you. But over here, in any event, it's an area that's not part of Rishut HaRabim. Rav Ashi says no. The idea over here is afilu tzoa. Even if it's something that people won't step into if they're looking at it and so on, bottom line is, it's batel to Rishut HaRabim. Isn't kovei an area to itself? Amar Rabba, it should say bar Rav Shila, not the Rav Shila. Yeah. So Amar Rabba bar Rav Shila, I should say. In Karmelit pechuta mi arba'a. There's no such thing as a Karmelit that is less than 4x4. If it's less than 4x4, it's a makom patur. V'yom Rav Sheshes, and furthermore, this is Rav Sheshes, a Karmelit is only to face ad asara. Now, what does that mean? It's only to face ad asara. We could understand it to mean, ilema, di iika mechitza asara, hu da havi karmelit, vi lo havi karmelit. You mean, it's to face. The idea is that the din of a karmelit is to face where there is 10 tefachim. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos doesn't like that shot, where there's 10 tefachim mamish, because we know all of the cases that we had before, Ula, Ravashi, and so on, all of those cases is talking about. And what about the Yam, the Bika, and so on? Right? I mean, we're talking about there are cases of Karmelit where you don't have Mechitza. It's not that Ula argued that you can't have a Karmelit unless there's a Mechitza. But that we certainly couldn't be entertaining that. Therefore, the retinus that Ad Ika Asara means you need to have 10 Tvachim available in the Avir. But if you don't have 10 Tvachim available, whether it's Mechitza there or not, that then it's not considered to be a Mokum that is Choshev enough to be a Karmelit. So let's say you had a bika that had on it trellises or something for gefonim, and there wasn't 10 tefachim that under it. That maybe wouldn't be called a karmelit. That would be called a makom patur bi'alma. That's what the Gemara is thinking. So is that what it means? And that's not true. Hello, Omer of Gilam Rav Kibar Yosef Omerav, Bayit she'in betochol asara, bekiruyo mashlimola asara. This is an interesting case. You got a house, but it's really a chicken coop. So it doesn't have 10 to 12 of them inside. Outside it has 10 to 12, if you include the thickness of the ceiling and the roof. So now, what's the din inside of that house? Our immediate feeling would be, gosh, that's for sure Rosh HaSayochi. Because that doesn't have mechitzas of 10 to 12, does it? So it can't be Rosh HaSayochi. So what is it? Is it a Makom Patur or is it a Karmel? Well, that's essentially the question that the way Tosef is understanding the Gemara that you just raised. You need a Sarat Vachim in order to be a Karmelite. And it says over there, that inside of that house, it has a din of a Karmelite and you can't carry more than Arba Amos. Really strange. Over here, it says, Beferush, and inside that house, it has a din of a Karmelite. So now, clearly, it doesn't mean that you need 10 Tvachim for a Karmelite. It must mean the opposite. Might be tofeset adasara, that if you have a Karmelite, then the height of the Karmelite extends only 10 Tvachim. And above 10 Tvachim, it's not a Karmelite. In other words, we learned that a Rashut HaYachid is Ola Adarakia, as we'll see in a moment, but we've spoken about this before. So a Rashut HaYachid is a Rashut HaYachid no matter how far up it goes. A Rashut HaRabim, we already saw, only is still 10 Tvachim. Above 10 Tvachim, it becomes a Makom Patur. A Karmelite is given here some of the dinim of the Rashut HaRabim, namely that you cannot carry outside of your Arba Tvachim, but because of that, it's given also the Kula, that above 10 Tvachim, it's not considered to be a Karmelite, and reverts to being a Makom Patur, as it's Iker Din. B'chiyad Yomalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda. As Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, listen here, Shinna, Sharpie, Lotavi B'mila Shabbat L'mala Me'asar, I don't want to hear you asking anything about above 10 Tvachim when it comes to Shabbos or else. Now, what was he talking about? Does he mean to say there's no extension of Rashut HaYachid above 10 Tvachim? Om Rav Chista, no, it's kind of Rashut HaYachid, the Zark, v'nach agab, v'afil gavor, mea amachay. Replace Rashut HaYachid, Olav, Adolakiyah. That if you stuck a pole, and it was even, whatever, 100 amas high, and you threw from the Rashut HaRabim, and it lands on top of this area, it would be chayiv. Of course, later on, the Gemara is going to say, wait, what happened to Makom Arba Arba? This is a pole. Okay, that's the problem, which we'll talk about later. But in any event, clearly it's in the Rashut HaYachid, even though it's Lamala Me'asara, so before Lamala Me'asara in Rashut HaRabim, it's considered to be a Makom Patur. So Shmuel could not have been warning off Rav Yehuda from discussing Lamala Me'asara talking Rashut HaYachid. Ela, what did he mean? Dein Rashut HaRabim, Lamala Me'asara? Did he mean to warn Rav Yehuda not to ask him what the din is above Asara of Rashut HaRabim? What did he think, that Rav Yehuda didn't know a Mishnah? It's a Beferish Mishnah, it's not. Hazorik Arba Amot Bekotel, somebody who throws from Rashut HaRabim, and it gets stuck in a wall, lamala mi'asarat vachim kezorek ba'avir, if it lands above 10 tvachim high, it's like throwing it into the airspace, and it's a Makom Patur, because it never landed in Rashut HaRabim. It doesn't have Rashut HaYachid, because it doesn't have mechitzot to define it as Rashut HaYachid. Well, again, we'll discuss exactly what the case is over here, which is Nogea de Levena case before. Lamata mi'asarat vachim kezorek ba'aret, but if it's less than 10 tvachim, then it's as if it landed in Rashut HaRabim. So, I mean, Rav Yehuda undoubtedly read that Mishnah himself. He doesn't need Shmuel to teach it to him. Okay. He must have meant exactly what we're talking about. He was telling Rav Yehuda, you want to know about the din of a Karmelite? Never discuss above 10 Tvachim. Because a Karmelite cannot extend any more than Rashut HaRabim can extend above 10 Tvachim high from its surface. And that's what he means. Ela Karmelite. The Ein Karmelite l'mala mi'asara. Basically, what we've just discovered is that Akilu barabara mikulei Rashut HaYachid. The Rabbanan gave the two things that we discussed earlier represent Rav Dimi's case and Rav Sheshes' case represent two kulas. First of all, it's like Rashut HaYachid. If it's got 4x4 like Rashut HaYachid, then it has a karmelis. Less than that, it's a Makom Patur. That's a din in Rashut HaYachid. It also has a kula of Rashut HaRabim, namely the Adasarat Vachim Uda Avi Karmelit. It's only a karmelit up to 10 tvachim high, and malam yasarat tvachim lo avi karmelit, and you don't have a problem above 10 tvachim. So the two shiurim that we mentioned are a reflection of the kula of Rashut HaYachid. It has to be at least 4x4. And the kula of Rashut HaRabim, it cannot be l'malam yasara. And that really puts it very firmly into context. Now, I'm just curious about that case, which our dear president was curious about as well. Guf, Amr of Gidlam Rechia Bar Yosef Amara, Bayit, She'im Tocho Asara, V'kiruyo Mashlimo La'asara, Al Gago Mutar L'Taltel B'Kulo, V'Tocho, Ein L'Taltel Bo Ela Bar Ba'amot. Because curiously enough, the same house, which on top is Rashut HaYachid, indoors is a Karmelite. Says Abaye, look, if in the middle of the floor, you made a sunken living room, So this sunken living room now actually gave it an additional 2 inches, which for aliens of that size is quite significant. I mean, if you're only a foot high, your sunken living room could be only 2 inches deeper.
They have one of these in the movie.
There you go. So, yeah, so there's nothing that is not Barumas in the RI system. Let's look up here. So here you go. You have now your sunken living room, which is 2 inches deep. But now those 2 inches create a Sarat Bachim from the floor of the sunken living room till the roof. What about the rest of the house? It says Abaya, the whole house then becomes a Rishut Hayachid. Why? My time. It's Mutta Tata Bakula. My time. Have a Chore Rishut Hayachid. The Chore Rishut Hayachid, Rishut Hayachidamu. Because the din is that if you have areas that extend into a wall, let's say, in Rishut Hayachid, even though you'd say, aha, let us give those holes, each one, a din of Rishut if they have smoke. Yeah, you've got a niche in the wall. So a niche in the wall, let me look at it. Well, let's see now. It's less than 4x4. It's a Markham Ptur. No. It's a Rishut Hayachid. Something that's part of the usage of the Rishut Hayachid. It's a place where you store things. It's not a Rishut, a separate Rishut. It becomes part of the Rishut Rabin. So here too, the sunken living room defines the area around the living room at least as Chorei Rishut Hayachid. Look at it as an extended shelf. So maybe the only living area, so to speak, is down in the sunken living room. But the rest of the side of the house is basically areas off of the Rishut Hayachid. Therefore, the entire house becomes a Rishut Hayachid. Not to be confused with the equivalent case in Sukkah, which Tosfos goes into at some length, where over there the halacha is that in order for it to be kosher for Sukkah, you have to have the sunken living room getting close enough to the mechitzos that the mechitza should now be within the tefachim that allow it to be viewed as an extension of the mechitza. So the entire sukkah now has to be hollowed out, so to speak, at least up the mechitza. If it's 3 tefachim away, then it's not love, but the mechitzas won't be kosher. But that, as Tosfos points out, is a completely different din. That's because you need to have the mechitza should be some of l'schach, and otherwise the mechitzas, my mechitzas, won't be some of l'schach. That's a different halacha. But in terms of turning the place into Rishut Chorei, Rishut Hayachid, it's still all given a din of Rishut Hayachid. Where do we know that? The Yitma. Chorei Rishut Hayachid, Ki Rishut Hayachid, Damu. What about Chorei Rishut Harabim? Abai Omek Rishut Harabim, Damu. Rod Omek Lavka Rishut Harabim, Damu. If you have holes in a wall that is facing Rishut Harabim, says Rava, it's a Rishut, each one of them has to be measured individually. If you measure it now, it's got 4x4, it becomes a Carmelite off of the Rishut HaRabim, assuming that it fills the rest of the requirements. Let me ask you something. You claim, says Rav Abaya, that if you've got a hole in a wall off of Rishut HaRabim, it has a din of Rishut HaRabim. So explain to me, remember that the din that we learned before in the Braita of how to define a Carmelite, one of the cases he gave was a Keren Zavit Hasbuchal Rishut HaRabim. Now I ask you, if you're ready to say that the hollowed out sunken living room makes the rest of the house the Chorei Rishut Hayachid, surely the highway off of the edge of the house or the parking area makes the parking area Chorei Rishut HaRabim? So according to you, all the Chorei Rishut HaRabim has a din of Rishut HaRabim. There's no din of a Carmelite in the parking area. But it said b'feirush, nobody argued about it. Said b'feirush that that parking area does in fact have a din of Rishut HaRabim. How are you going to explain that away? Answered Abaya, hatam lo necha tashmishte. The whole point over there is that it's not useful. It's difficult to use that area. But over here, a niche in the house, or a niche that I'm referring to in Rishut HaRabim, by definition, what I'm talking about is something that presents itself comfortably to be used by the B'nai Rishut HaYachid or the B'nai Rishut HaRabim, as the case may be. And Mamela, there is where I'm suggesting that it has a din of the Rishut to which it opens into. Now, we finally get to the question that we raised earlier about how something lands on the side of a brick. Because we just said the same thing. If you threw something in Rishut HaRabim and it lands on the side of a wall, how exactly does something land on the side of a wall anyway? So asks them, Gemara, what about the case we just had? It's not. Hazorik arba amot bakotel, lamala mi'asara, kezorik ba'av yirdami, lamata mi'asara tvachim, kezorik ba'aretz. Now, We asked on this, when you say it's Kazuric Baritz, on my Kazuric Baritz, I should say with an olive, on my Kazuric Baritz, why does it have a din of having landed on the ground, which means that you would be hired, because it was not now in Moshe Rabbi. The hollow knot? If it lands on the side of a wall, then it certainly isn't at rest. How is it not? The Omer of Yochanan, it's very simple. We've got a nice, fat, juicy date. And sticky. So when you throw it on the edge of the wall, it sticks. That's the point. And that's considered to be...
What's the name?
It's a pressed. I mean, it's a fig cake, actually, more. All right, but it's nice and sticky.
Sweats.
Nah,
is that on the wall or
on the wall? Deck? On the wall. So it landed on the wall. That's considered to be, if it's Lamata Me'asura, it landed calmly in Rishut HaRabi. Now, and that's what everybody said. Now, according to you, Rabbi, I don't understand. I mean, you must admit it's a little bit of a strange case that we have to be talking about Dafka throwing something sticky, isn't it? I mean, wouldn't it be more likely to say, according to you, that since if you've got a shelf in Rishut HaRabim sticking into a wall, as it did of Rishut HaRabim, it could be talking about anything, and it landed in the wall, in the shelf. I mean, why does it have to be sticky? So, Isaac, the Daikach, as you claim, that Chorei Rishut HaRabim, Av Rishut HaDinim, Rishut HaRabim, Lama Liluk Mebet Vela Shemina, why do we have to say it's talking about something sticky? Luk Mebet Soror, the Chafetz, the Dach Bechor. Why can't it be talking about a tennis ball that lands in a little hole, which according to you is Rishut HaRabim? Zimni Mishani Lei. Now, sometimes, Abaye would answer, because, did you ever try throwing something into a little hole? You notice that it bounces. So wouldn't sticky solve the bounce problem? So that's why it says sticky, not the bounce. So Shani Tzor V'chefetz, the Mahadar V'asi, it has a tendency to bounce back. And Zimni Mishani Lei, but sometimes he would answer him, because there wasn't any chor. Why? Why wasn't there any chor? Mimai, I'll prove to you that this was a chorless wall. How can I prove that to you? Miliktoni Reisha, Zorek Lamala Miasara Tvach Gizorek Bavir. Let's say the case was that there was a hole in the wall. So then, if in that case, the original, in the Reisha, the original case where we had throwing it and it lands above ten tvach, assuredly would be talking about that it landed in a hole above ten tvach. Aha! But if it landed at all above ten tvach, you're claiming, landed in a hole, but then what would I have said? If it's above 10 tefachim, I couldn't have said Torah Rishut HaRabim, right? So it's above 10 tefachim, what would have been the din in that case? Isak Daikla Bekoto Deit Bechor. Why would it have a din of Zorik Bavir in a Mokum Ptur? Honach Bechor. It landed in the hole. And this hole has mechitzas of 10 tefachim. And that makes it a Rishut HaYachid, which means that he threw from Rishut HaRabim into Rishut HaYachid. Now, I know what you're going to tell me. It was a little tiny hole. And it didn't have four tefachim by four tefachim. That's what you're going to try to tell me. So, Machit, Emamat, Nisim, the Letabe, Arba, Arba, did Rabbi Yehuda quote Rabbi Chiya as saying that Zorak Lamala Miasarat Tefachim, Vachav and Nacha, Bechor, Koshu, Banu, the Machloket, Rabbi Meir, Barabanan? There's a whole separate problem over here, which is the famous issue of whether Chokakin Lashli. Chokakin Lashli means where you are missing a certain area. Now, Tosfos explains we're certainly not talking about a chokkin mahashlim where we have a small hole and let's make the hole bigger. There's no such din in Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir's din of chokkin mahashlim is where you have the outlines of a hole, or the actual case there was talking about a doorway that has an arch. So the doorway with an arch, the area where it arches over, is not 4 tefachim wide. But on the bottom it is. The question is it chayav in a mezuzah? Because it doesn't have a normal shape. It doesn't have a full 10 by 4. So he says over there, look, as long as on the bottom it starts off as a doorway, the fact that it arches up, ignore the arch. Continue to line right on the bottom of the door, on the right and the left. Cut the line up as if the arch doesn't take up space. So that means that Rabbi Meir only says, chokikin mahashim, hollow something away. Okay. If you can make this out, this would be the case. The chokin ash would be right along the little edge over there. So it's the dotted line.
Pushes to the top of the arch.
It pushes it to the top. But you have to have an outline of the hole that you're talking about in order to do chokin ash. You don't say, well, wherever there's something, let's maximize it and hollow it out. That's absurd. Then it just brings riots. Of course, Rabbi Meir never holds a such a thing. There, huh? In that case, we're talking about the size of a petach for a mezuzah. over here we'd be talking about Chokim Ashvin to give it a din of Aval Arba, so it should become Na'ul Shat Ayachin. Therefore, Tosfos says what we're talking about over here, actually, is a norm of construction, which is why we take it for granted. If it has a chor, and you'll notice, this is very common here in the Old City, there's a lot of the older walls in which it's constructed with blocks that give you little holes, where some of them used old bottles. You know, so they have those round. They would put a bottle into the hole, pull it out. Oh, there you go, yeah. So that type of thing. You know, look right through the window. So that type of thing, what they had was, you would wedge, you put a wedge into the wall, remove it after the wall solidified, and you would have a little hole on one side, and a large opening on the inside. You didn't want people to be able to look through. So the side of the Rishat HaYachid, it was small, to let in air and so on. On your side, it was larger. There it's Chokik and Lashlin, because you do have the outlines. It's the equivalent of an arch doorway on its edge. So Rabbi Meir would have said over there, Chokik and Lashlin. If you say Chokik and Lashlin, then even though it lands in a small chor, but since the standard chor could have been outlined to 4x4, it would have been a Rishut HaYachid. So don't ask me why we're talking about something sticky. You know why we're talking about something sticky? Because we didn't want to talk about a wall that has a hole. Because if the wall had a normal hole, then you wouldn't have been able to say, according to Rabbi Meir, that Zorak v'nach l'malam yasar t'vashin, it would be kizorik b'avir, you'd be putter, because according to Rabbi Meir, you get into the problem of chokin l'ashlin. And therefore we avoided discussing walls with holes. So since the Gemara was smart enough to understand, says Abaya, that we couldn't be talking about a wall with holes, it was asking, so what did we do? We had Velcro. So the answer is you had something sticky. That's all, that's the case. Now getting to the issue before that Reb Barnea had requested that we speak about then, as Tosfos points out, the case of the brick l'chora, you'll have to say the same idea that the Vela Shemena, right? In other words, something landed on the side of the brick. What? That's tach. Tach means squish. So now, how exactly did it land on the side of the brick and still be munach? So there's two approaches. It could be munach because we view the surface on which something has landed to be defined by where it's at rest. In other words, we have molecular attraction, we have gravitational attraction. Normally, gravitational attraction defines where something is at rest. So we take a look, okay, where is it at rest? Is it at rest on something 4x4? If we have molecular attraction, such as a sticky nevela, where is it at rest? Ignore gravity, it's at rest against the side of something, because the attraction that we're talking about is not gravitational. So where is it at rest? It's at rest against the facing of the brick. The facing of the brick was 4x4. That's all that I care about. There's one way of looking at it. Okay. Tosfos brings, however, the Rivat pshat. The Rivat doesn't like that. The Rivat views the pshat in the Gemara of at rest as by definition being gravitational. Therefore, at rest would have to mean at the point at which it's been pulled and won't be pulled further. So where is it at rest? It's at rest on the ground, basically. It's just that it can't get there. So since the area on the ground is 4x4, as long as it faces the ground, it's considered to be munach al hakarka. Now the Reed didn't like that, interestingly enough, because he said, if that's the case, then why did we have to go to all of the absurd lengths that we went to have dwarfs and people sitting in holes if all we needed to talk about was holding your hand upside down?
Because
then it's facing the ground. In other words, if you tell me that it's always gravity that's going to define it. So it happens to be right now it can't fall. In this case it can't fall because it's sticky. In the other case it can't fall because it's surrounded by your fingers. Anyway, that was fun, wasn't it? That is fun. Did I finish? Sorry, so let's just finish the Seyed inside. So, Bana Lamachwaka, Rabbi Meir, Rabban, Rabbi Meir, Savar, Fokikin, Lashlim, Rabban, and Savar, Ain, Fokikin, Lashlim, Ela, Shemamina, Bekota, Belet, Befor, Shemamina. So, therefore, clearly, we're talking about a wall without a hole. The question is why he only said this sometimes. Sometimes he said it's because, he didn't want to say we didn't have a hole. He said it's because it'll pop back out of the hole. You know, bounce back must be because it's a small hole. It's taken into consideration already that it's a hole that wasn't China. No, it's the same Mamanashan. What do you want? It's a small hole. That's not China. It's a Koshinashan. Koshinashan. It'll bounce back. Elamai's talking about a real normal hole. And you get into the problem of Rabbi Meir all against Rishat HaYachid. So no matter how you look at it, that can't be the pshat. That's where we have to come on to it.